Turn in your Bible to Psalm 34. I sought the Lord, and He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for this day. Thank you, Lord, for the presence of your Holy Spirit. Thank you for those that have gathered as your family to share with you, to have you touch our lives. Lord, I believe today that you've put this word in my heart. Give us ears to hear what your Spirit would say. We give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. 5-year-old Johnny was in the kitchen as his mother was preparing supper. She asked him to go into the pantry and get her a can of tomato soup. But he didn't want to go in by himself. It's dark in there. He said, I'm scared. She asked again and he persisted. Finally, she said, it's okay. Jesus will be in there with you. Johnny walked hesitantly to the door and barely opened it very slowly. He peeked inside, saw it was dark, and started to leave. When all at once he had an idea. He said, Jesus, if you're in there, would you hand me that can of tomato soup? Then, of course, there's little Susie. One summer night during a severe thunderstorm, a mother was tucking little Susie into her bed. Her mother was about to turn the light off when Susie asked in a trembling voice, Mommy, will you stay with me all night? Smiling, the mother gave her a warm, reassuring hug and said tenderly, I can't, dear. I have to sleep in Daddy's room. A long silence followed after Mom walked out and turned the light off. At last, the silence was broken by a small, shaky voice saying, That big sissy. There's all kinds of fears today. There's all kinds of people that are dealing with phobias. It's bringing billions of dollars into various treatment facilities. It's amazing to me when I hear that they've actually defined a number of types of phobias. There's pelidophobia. It's a fear of baldness and bald people. Some of you need to be afraid. Very afraid. There's aerophobia, fear of drafts. I was thinking about Brother Charles with Alan. Porphyrophobia, fear of the color purple. Chitophobia, fear of hairy people. Levophobia, fear of objects on the left side of the body. Dextrophobia, fear of objects on the right side of the body. Aurorophobia is what it, fear of the northern lights. Caliprophobia, fear of obscure meanings. Thalassophobia, fear of being seated. Stabisbasophobia, fear of standing and walking. Odontophobia, fear of teeth. Be tough to get away. Graphophobia, fear of writing in public. And of course, phobophobia, fear of being afraid. All kinds of phobias. Black Bart was a professional thief whose very name struck fear as he terrorized the Wells Fargo stage line. From San Francisco to New York, his name became synonymous with the danger of the frontier. Between 1875 and 1883, he robbed 29 different stagecoach crews. Amazingly, Bart did it without firing a shot. Because a hood hid his face, no victim ever saw his face. He never took a hostage and was never trailed by a sheriff. Instead, Black Bart used fear to paralyze his victims. His sinister presence was enough to overwhelm the toughest stagecoach guard. All it took was fear. I want to tell you one last story. During his years as premier of the Soviet Union, Nikita Khrushchev denounced many of the policies and atrocities of Joseph Stalin. Once, as he censured Stalin in a public meeting, Khrushchev was interrupted by a shout from a heckler in the audience. "You were one of Stalin's colleagues. Why didn't you stop him?" "Who said that?" roared Khrushchev. An agonizing silence followed as nobody in the room dared move a muscle. Then Khrushchev replied quietly, "Now you know why." The reality is that fear keeps us from a multitude of things. Today, we live in a day that fear keeps us from obtaining the plan and purpose of God. We find ourselves in situations that I believe that all of these phobias keep us from obtaining what God has for us as His best. The scripture that I read has three things that I believe that are very important to us that tells us what we should do when fear comes. First of all, I sought the Lord. When fear comes, what we need to do is seek Him. The Bible has multitude of directives to us to seek the Lord while He may be found. Now is the time to seek the Lord till He comes and rains righteousness upon us. The reality is we have a tendency to do everything today except seek the Lord. We have a tendency today to look at our own abilities, find our strength in ourselves. But what the church needs desperately to do today is to seek Him, is to follow after Him, to desire His presence. In His presence is fullness of joy. In His presence is life, and that more abundantly. In His presence is every good and perfect gift. God is looking for a people that will seek Him. We tend to procrastinate. We have a tendency to wait until a better time, a better opportunity, more convenient. And yet the reality is that every one of us here, and I really believe, church, with all of my heart, that God put it in my heart this week to preach this message, that many of us are stymied by fear. And because of that, we're not willing to seek Him. We're afraid of God. But God doesn't want us to be afraid of Him. He loves us and He cares for us. God wants us to seek Him. God doesn't want us to wait till another day, another time, another place. He wants us to pursue Him with all of our heart. We need to be a people who know that God is our only hope. If God doesn't touch us, who will? If God doesn't help us, who will? We find ourselves in circumstances that we feel like we're in over our head. But in those moments of time, we need to seek Him. We need to know that He hears us. It says, "I sought the Lord and He heard me." Aren't you glad that God is not playing hide and seek? Aren't you glad that you're not having to try to find Him? He's easy to be found. We need to know that He hears us. He hears our prayers. I don't know where it slipped into the people of God that somehow or another that God doesn't hear us. But I want to declare to you unequivocally today, God hears all of our prayers. God hears us when we cry out to Him. It's His promise to us. It's His word to us. And He's not a man that He should lie. When we pray, God hears our prayers. I was blessed this week as one of our brothers talked about the importance of prayer. I really appreciated the fact of putting the light back on the fact that we need to be a people of prayer. We need to believe that communication with God is some of the utmost importance of our life, that it's what we're here for, is to talk to God and for Him to talk to us. If we're going to do anything for God, we need to hear His voice. We need to hear His directive. We need to hear what He wants us to do in our life. So we need to seek for the Lord and to know that He hears us and deliver us from all of our fears. My message today is not very profound, but I believe it's very important. We have a tendency to fear. Fear grips us when we least expect it. The church has a multitude of fears. We fear that He has blessings for others, but not for me. I don't know where that crept in, but there's a tendency today to feel like God is a respecter of persons when He is very clear to say He is not a respecter of persons. I got good news for you today. What He'll do for others, He'll do for you. What God will do in others' lives, He wants to do for you also. He wants to bless you. He wants to touch you. He wants to accomplish His destiny in your life. But a lot of us have bought into a fear that what He will do for others, He'll not do for me. I'm not able. I'm not good enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not spiritual enough. I don't give enough. Whatever it is, we have a tendency to be afraid that somehow or another God will turn His back upon us. A lot of people fear that they will not be able to finish the journey. And so they just quit. They just throw in the towel and say, I can't make it. They are afraid that I cannot do all that God has called me to do. Every one of us struggle with that at times. But God says, I'll never leave you or forsake you, but I'll be with you always, even to the end of the world. We deal with fear of death, with darkness, with loneliness. We struggle sometimes with the fear of men. What will others think? I found out that everybody has an opinion. Most of them are wrong. But everybody's got one. And the reality is people don't always know why we do what we do. But we're not here to please them. We're here to please Him who has chosen us to be a soldier. We struggle with the fear of the future. What will tomorrow hold? What's life going to look like? How are we going to deal with all of the aspects of the future? I don't know. But as the old saying goes, I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know who holds tomorrow. I know that God's already there to help me and to deal with every situation and every circumstance. But a lot of Christians are paralyzed with fear of the future. They're paralyzed with fear of men. They're paralyzed with all of this fear. They will not do what God wants them to do. There's the fear of the unknown. How's it going to be there? People ask me all the time, Ron, when you get to these countries, what's it going to be like? I said, I don't know. It's different every time I go. You never know what's going to be like. The first time I went to India, they put me on an 8-hour train ride and said I had a sleeping car. What they didn't tell me, it was with an Indian family. And there were 6 bunks, 3 on each side. And the Indian family had gotten there early. And they had all the good bunks. And my bunk was on the very top. Now you can just imagine me trying to get there. It was not a pretty sight. And I said, God, I don't like this. His response was, so what? It doesn't matter. You never know. There's always unknown things. There's the unknown aspect of relationships. You don't always know, you don't always know what your wife or your husband is going to be like. You don't ever know what some of the friends that you've met and you go do something, you never know how they're going to respond. You never know. But God says we can trust Him. We can trust Him. And He'll help us through. There's the fear of change. My, my. How we have grown to a place in the church that we just want to stay in the same place year after year. I mean, I can't even imagine that. I cannot imagine that we'd want to stay in the same place. It's been said that a rut is nothing but a grave with both ends knocked out. We're dead and we don't know it. We've gone through a process where we just keep going about the same duties, saying the same things, doing the same way. And we're afraid of change. We need to put a sign up that says constant change is here to stay. By the time some people figure that out, we'd be able to do some different things. The reality is change is inevitable. Change will take place whether we like it or not. And by the way, change helps us to mature. Change helps us to grow. Change helps us. One of the things you learn in being in Latin America, one of the things that I will say to the team tonight is we have a mantra. It's, blessed are the flexible, for they shall not be broken. The fact is that if you're alive and breathing, things are going to change. I struggle because I like to administrate things in a certain way, and I tell people the bus is going to be here at 8 o'clock. And at 10 o'clock, people say, where's the bus? I don't know. I don't know where the bus is. And I've learned that the bus will get there when the bus driver wants to come. It does not matter that the paper says 8 o'clock. That's meaningless to him. It does not matter if they say church is going to start at 10. That's just a number on a piece of paper. The first time I was in the Virgin Islands, I showed up when they said show up. Nobody was there. 2 hours later, they started bringing the instruments in. It did not take long for me to adapt. I'm quick, a lot quicker than you think. And so the next night, I didn't show up till about 11. And things were just getting warmed up. And I was like, thank you, Lord, for the ability to learn. The reality is things sometimes are different. Change happens. Situations take place in our life that we didn't plan for, that we didn't look for. Circumstances happen that try to throw a wrench in all of our best laid plans. See, some of y'all thought by this time in your life that you'd be able to retire, that you would be able to enjoy your nest egg, which has now just become a nest. There's no egg there. And you're struggling at what you're going to do. But the reality is that somehow or another we've got to learn to be able to adapt to situations. And one of the things I'm telling you is church is not like it used to be 20 years ago. The words are the same. The principles are the same. But methods are different today. God's doing things in a multitude of ways. He's touching people that we can't even imagine that he would touch them. I was in Virginia, and a guy came to the service, and he had spiked hair, and he had a dog collar on with spikes. And every place in his hair had multiple colors. And I couldn't even hardly concentrate on what I was saying for watching him. But when I gave the altar call, he came and accepted the Lord. I didn't even know where to pray for him. But he came to Jesus. We don't know. We don't know what God will do. He's a big God. Last time I checked, he could do anything he wanted to. Hallelujah. All I've got to do is change my view, change my attitudes. Did I say that? Let me say it over here. We need to change our attitudes. Not you, but possibly somebody sitting beside you occasionally has a bad attitude. And they let that attitude get in the way of their productivity. They let that attitude that says, well, we've always done it this way. And the response is, that was good for that day, but God's doing some new things. Hallelujah. He's making way for new people. He's making way for His presence to fill us. Another problem, another fear that we deal with is fear of failure. We struggle with, what if I don't succeed? You know, after you've been around for a while, sometimes it kind of goes the other way. What if I do succeed? I'm not sure sometimes which is the worst. But fear of failure. We struggle with, what am I going to look like? God, how is this going to work out? God, how is this going to take place? God, will I be accepted? Will they receive me? Will I be loved? And we're concerned with this fear of failure. And so because of it, the majority of Christians have found the answer. That's to do nothing. They just don't do anything. Because that way, you can't fail. But that's a lie. Because of not doing it, you fail. You see, the fact is a lot of us say, well, I just won't make a decision. You just did. When you choose to not decide, you made a decision. And when we choose to do nothing, we play into the hands of the enemy. I believe that God would be thrilled for some of us to get over our fear of failure. Can I tell you that I really believe that the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me and said that there's many of you in this room today that God has spoken to you about some areas of your destiny, about some things He wants you to do. It may be little things, it may be grand things. But the enemy has kept you from being productive by a fear of failure. And today, you've bought into a lie that I just won't do anything. But God says it's time. The time is now. This is the moment. Fear is destructive. Fear will stop you from fulfilling your dream. You cannot do what you were designed to do if you're consumed with fear. I believe that God gives each of us a dream. He gives us a vision. He gives us a directive. And when you know what God wants you to do, you cannot allow fear to keep you from it. Years ago, I've told this story before, I was flying into New York City, and I felt like the Lord spoke to me about this place where I was going to minister. He actually showed me a vision, and I saw me praying and preaching and prophesying over people. And our plane went through some real turbulence, and this lady sitting beside me, whom I did not know, grabbed my arm, and she said, "Aren't you afraid?" I said, "No." She said, "Why?" I said, "Because I believe that this is the safest plane in the skies." She said, "Why?" I said, "Because I'm on it." She said, "Who are you?" I said, "I'm a servant of the Lord. And I believe that God has already shown me who I'm going to minister to in New York." I said, "God would not have shown that to me if He intended for me not to do it." She said, "Oh." The plane landed. She never let go of my arm. She held my arm till we got into the terminal. And finally she said, "I don't know who you are, but I'm so glad you was on this plane." If you know your dream, don't let fear be destructive to your dream. Know that God will do what He said He would do. He that began a good work in you will bring it to completion. I declare to you today, it's not over till He says it's over. Fear is contagious. When the 10 spies came back from the promised land and said there were giants, it didn't take but just moments. And fear had gone rampant throughout the people until everybody was afraid. Fear is contagious. The reality is that sometimes we come to the house of God and we spread not our faith, but we spread our fear. And we keep people from obtaining their destiny in God. And fear destroys faith in our lives. The antithesis of faith is fear. And what so many have done is allow themselves to get to a place where they no longer believe the promise. I want to tell you today, God has made some promises to you. And I believe that God will do what He said He would do. Whatever you may be facing today, the Lord wants you to know, and we all know this scripture by heart in Timothy, 1 Timothy 1:7, that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of and a sound mind. God has not given us the spirit of fear or timidity. He wants the church to rise up and declare the goodness of God in the land of the living. He wants the church to rise up and know that we have been called to the kingdom for such a time as this. I refuse to believe that we're on the decline. I believe that we're moving forward into the things of God. The church is still the church, regardless of circumstances. I believe that God says that He'll make a way where there doesn't seem to be a way. I believe the Lord wants us to understand and be delivered from fear. In Isaiah chapter 41, it says, you, in verse 9, you whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called from its farthest regions and said to you, you are my servant. I have chosen you and have not cast you away. Fear not, I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. It doesn't get any better than that. He will uphold us. He's the one who will protect us. He's the one who will keep us. He's the one who will deliver us. Ephesians 4:27 says to not give place to the enemy. I urge you today to not give a place for fear, but have faith in our God, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. One more scripture, Psalm 27 and verse 1 and following. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me, any of you ever had the wicked come against you? To eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. Today, some of you have allowed fear to keep you from your purpose. Some of you have given place to the enemy. And you've allowed yourself to be afraid of the unknown, of change, of the future, of men, of not being able to finish. But I declare to you today, the Lord is your light and your salvation. Whom shall you fear? God wants to see you through. There's many of you who have such promise. There's many of you who have such talent and ability. There's many of you who need to be about the Father's business. But you have been beset with fear. But I declare to you today, we sought for the Lord, and He heard us and delivered us from all of our fear. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. We're going to pray for some of you in a minute. Brother Stephen's going to come, and then we're going to pray.
Sometimes it's the thing close to you. I found it a lot of times easier to go to a foreign culture than to talk to a neighbor. Person's going to know you. And I think some of us have to deal with a very close, immediate fear. And Ron's the kind of guy that's has shown a lot of courage and gone into a lot of cultures. Most of us won't do that. But there is somebody close to you. The other thing is a fear of obeying an impulse that the Holy Spirit's given you. You can't anticipate what that's going to be. A lot of you know what you came to deal with. But all of us are going to have to deal with something we don't know. And that is in a moment when the Holy Spirit says, say that, do that. And I don't mean to be an impulsive person, but the Holy Spirit speaks in surprising, unexpected ways. And when you go out of here, if you've said, Holy Spirit, speak to me, I believe He's going to say some things you did not anticipate. And obeying that is what's going to open up a door. And you never know. All you see is just that, what He said, do. But when you do that, it's going to open up a whole lot of other things. The best things that have happened in my life were things I didn't plan. And I think that's true of all of us, because that's God's plan. And I encourage you to plan, but I encourage you to be open to God's plan. But I just felt, Ron, as you were speaking, a lot of us are afraid to deal with the person closest to us. And I just pray God will water the word.